We're going tonight to turn to the Gospel of Matthew, and read from chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, and we'll read from verse 1. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him, and behold, there came a leper, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Now we trust the Lord will add a blessing to his word tonight. I must confess from this platform that as I sat in my study this afternoon and considered these words from Matthew chapter 8 and particularly verse 1, there came a kind of sorrow and sadness over my heart, because I came to understand and appreciate that really what was true in the days of the Lord Jesus is not true today. You'll notice in chapter 8 verse 1 that he came up, he was up the mountain, he was up the Mount Olivet, he was teaching his own disciples how to behave in this world and how to live in this world, and of course he instructed them very, very clearly. And he came down from the mountain, and the Spirit of God records in chapter 8 verse 1 that great multitudes followed him. And my dear friends, I'm sure that every Christian man and every Christian woman will love that what was true in that day is true nowadays. As he walked the streets of Palestine, we've been singing about the Saviour and the glory of the Saviour and the greatness of the Saviour, and we can say tonight as the Lord's people, hallelujah, what a Saviour. You know, my dear friend, I want to tell you, in the fear of God tonight, it's one of the greatest things to know God's salvation and to know where you're going. I'm glad to tell everybody, and I constantly tell people, that when my time comes, and my time will come, just like your time will come as well, that for the sake of God, it's not a leap in the dark. We just know where we're going. And we're glad tonight to lay our all under the authority upon the Word of God, that the Bible tells us about the Christian who dies and departs this life that's absent from the body and present with the Lord, which is very, very far better. You see, every man and woman in this hall tonight that's been saved by sovereign grace has the hope of heaven deeply in their soul. And you know, my friend, I want to say that the Lord Jesus, when he was here, as he walked the streets of Palestine, you know, the crowds followed him. There was just something about him that was different from you and I. And he was different. We've been singing that tonight about the blessed Saviour. He was different from you, and he was different from me. And the amazing thing is this, that he became like us. You know, it's a way beyond human understanding that God became man. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. And my dear friend, what a deep was when he was born in Bethlehem's manger. You know, there was a revelation that the Saviour was born by the angels to the shepherds. I think it was marvellous that to these ordinary working people that were tending their flocks by night, that the voice of the angel came from heaven and told them that a Saviour was born. And you know, my friend, I want to say that he's not only our Saviour, and thank God he is our Saviour. But you know, James tells us, John tells us that he's the Saviour. The Word of God tells us in John's epistle that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Oh, my dear soul, don't be deluded tonight by the religions of the world, and I want to say there are many. We're living in an age of multicultural religions, and everyone hopes to reach heaven. But I want to say there's only one Saviour, and there's only one Lord, and there's only one Master, and that is the blessed person of the Lord Jesus. He makes it very, very clear in John chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. My dear soul, let me underscore in your soul this evening that there's only one way to heaven. Well, there are many ways to Christ, but remember this, it's only Christ that leads to God. And it's only Christ that leads to heaven. As we mentioned in our prayer and our thanksgiving tonight, that the light has come. And the light shines in the dark place. And thank God, my friend, there's hope for the sinner. I was speaking to a dear woman. I don't know whether I upset her or not. I never meant to upset her. But she's an elderly woman, I think over 80. And of course, she didn't believe in anything. She told me that when you were dead, that was the end. I said, you know, my dear soul, you would love to believe that, because that kind of salves your conscience. That there's no God. And there's no eternity. And there's no judgment. And there's no hell. And there's no future. You want to believe that because it suits you.
And I made mention of the fact, I said, here we are, you and me at your door and at your house. I said, if we both die together and we find an eternity, and I find an eternity, that you're right and I'm wrong. I said, I want to ask a wee question, what have I lost? And she had to agree that I've lost nothing. But I said, on the other hand, if we both die and find an eternity, that the Bible's right and the preacher's right, I said, what have you lost? And you know, with a kind of broken voice, she said, you've damned my soul for eternity. And you know, my friend, I have to remind that dear woman that that will be true if she refuses the Saviour. But I have to remind her that the Saviour has come. And the Saviour died upon the cross. And the Saviour shed his precious blood. And the Saviour was buried. And the Saviour rose again the third day. And thank God we can see with Paul one of the greatest servants that God ever had. But now is Christ risen. And become the first fruits of them that are slept. My friend, understand tonight, there's a loving man in heaven. And there's a loving Saviour and wants to bless you and wants to save you from your sin and ultimately take you home to heaven. And I want to say at the commencement of a little message tonight, I've come to appreciate and I've come to understand that the Saviour is just different. From whence he came was different. He came from heaven. And the way he was born was different. Because he was born of the Virgin. And that's a fundamental fact of the gospel message, that Christ was born of a virgin. Not a virgin, but the virgin. Isaiah chapter 7. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, God with us. And you know, my friend, how he loved was different. I thought it was remarkable that he was born of a poor woman. And he lived in a despised place. And that was Nazareth. And he chose what nobody else would choose when he was seen in this world. He chose to live in poverty. And you know, when he wanted to preach one day, he borrowed a boat. And when he wanted to teach a lesson, he borrowed a penny. And when he was in the temple reading the book, he borrowed a book. And when he rode into the city of Jerusalem, he borrowed an ass. And when he died and was buried, he borrowed a tomb. My friends, what a Saviour we have, and what a Saviour we can preach about. And he was so kind and caring and thoughtful and willing to help others, and he never showed any bitter spirit. He never submitted to tit for tat. He never paid men back their own coinage. When he was reviled, he reviled not again, and when he suffered, he threatened not. There was just that lovely spirit about the Lord Jesus. Now let me challenge you tonight, is that no different from our world? Is it no tit for tat? Is it no revenge? Is it no hate? Is there no evil? Is it no wickedness? Does that no abound in our world? But let me tell you, friends, it wasn't the same in Christ. Because he was the Saviour. I'm glad for the words of Paul. You know, Paul says one day he's our Saviour. My dear Christian in the meeting tonight, are you no glad you're saved? Are you no glad that you're linked to others that are going home to heaven? You know, there's millions of you already. And there's millions upon earth that love him and have trusted him. What a great song there's going to be when we're all going to be raptured home to heaven. What a day that will be. And let me tell you, dear saint of God, that you'll sing a way you've never sung before. And every one of us will be in tune. There will be no discords. What a day that will be when we're all home in heaven. And basking eternally in the sunshine of the love of God. You know, you can never understand it. And you can hardly value it. And hardly appreciate it. And hardly think about it. But what a day it will be. Little wonder the wee hymn calls it the day of glory. Now let me ask you, in the fear of God today, are you going? You know, I speak to people every day. I keep saying this, but it's true. And you know, I ask them the same question. Are you going to heaven? And I don't know many last week just says, well, I hope so. I hope so. But you know, everybody's hoping. They're all wanting to be in heaven. And they're all hoping to be in heaven. You know, the hymn in our book is right on the golden steep of heaven. All men hope to walk someday. Yet so many are not willing to accept the living way. Whether others build on good works or the things of today, I can shake them out with others. Hallelujah. I'm depending upon the blood. Well, I know that people don't like to think about blood. I want to say, without the shedding of blood, there's no remission for sins. And you know, my friend, that's why he died. And that's why he came, for that great object in his soul, and the purpose in his heart, that he might move to Calvary, I was just saying this morning, in the morning meeting, had it not been for a place called Mount Calvary, had it not been for an old rugged cross, had it not been for a man called Jesus, my soul would forever have been eternally lost. And you know that's the purpose of his coming, that he might lay down his life, a ransom for the many. And I want to say, friends, in the fear of God tonight, I thank God I've listened. Never forget it. Still real. Still fresh. The dear saints have heard it before, and they'll hear it again tonight. The 11th of August, 1945, 10 minutes past 9, Lyne Street, 9 Lyne Street in Graysmouth, when I came to understand it, that I was a sinner for whom Christ died. I knew that I wasn't ready to go to heaven. And even as a young lad, I knew that I wasn't right with God. And I knew that I wasn't saved, and I knew that I wasn't converted or born again. And I knew this one thing, when they see tonight by this leper man, that I had to do something about it. And you know, I remember clearly the night I trusted the Lord Jesus. And no great prayer, no any great doxology. I just got down on my knees and confessed I was a sinner in God's sight. And I just simply said as a wee boy, into my heart, come into my heart, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today, come in this day, come into my heart, Lord Jesus. And let me tell you, friends, that night he saved me. And let me hastily add, he's kept me. And every Christian can say like Paul, by the grace of God we continue until this present day. And not only did he save me, and thank God he's kept me until this present hour, but I know for a fact of the authority of his good word that he's going to save my land with home in heaven. Now let me ask you, I want to ask you very personally, do you know anything about that now? I'm not asking for a kind of nominal Christianity. You know, people think they're Christians because they live in Britain. They talk about Britain being a Christian country. I hope you're not astounded when I tell you I've come to understand and appreciate that this country is as far away from God as any country could be. My dear friends, don't be deluded tonight by the devil that this is a Christian country and that everybody that lives in it is a Christian, because that's not true. You're a Christian if you belong to Christ. You're a Christian if you're in Christ. You're a Christian if you've trusted Christ. You're a Christian if you've been born again into the family of God. I just told a dear woman, I think just 3 days ago, I said, I want to tell you, dear, there's not a single bright line between you and your mother. Whether she's living or not, you're always dear daughter, for one big reason, because you were born into the family. And if that is true in the natural, let me tell you, my dear friends, it's more so true in the spiritual. And so the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, a very, very religious man, that knew the Bible right the back of his hand, he says, Nicodemus. And I'm sure he was listening. He says, you must be born again. Now, I want to stop you. I want you to ask yourself the question today, am I born again? I hope you're an honest woman. I hope you're an honest man. Am I born again? Am I on the right road? My destiny for the right end. Do you know where I'm going? If death should come away tonight when it's possible, where would I be? No, I think it's good to ask all these questions. It's good to ask questions. There's a wee question in Job's that goes like this, man dieth and wasteth away, and where is he? Now, my dear friend, I don't need to come to leaving to tell you that we've got to go. Everyone in this hall, if the Lord do not come, will go. And I'll go. And my time is getting nearer by the day and by the week. You know, I was just speaking about our age in the home of Stephen today, and we're talking about ages, and the way that I think about me is I look at the speedometer of the car, and when it comes to about 70, I just say, no, George, you've no longer to go. But we've got to go. But go here. Have you ever thought about it? Go where? Before the funeral is arranged. Before the undertaker's notified. Before the curtains are drawn in the home. Where will it be? For you. Now, my dear friend, that's why the Saviour came. He came to give life to all those that would trust in him. Now, I'm not getting to the end of your message, but I really want to get to the end because I want to think about this dear man that came to him.
what a dear soul he was, but what a sad case he was. This leper man, you know, he's only a picture of a man still in his sin. Leprosy tells us in the Bible that really is a picture of a man still in his sin without Christ. But you know, I was just thinking there's many reasons why they follow the Lord Jesus. And I was thinking about one of the first reasons why they followed the Lord Jesus, because they were astonished at his doctrine. They were amazed at what he taught. And you know the remarkable thing, and the sad thing even today, in the year 2010, around where I live today, you know, I want to tell you friends that they still don't like the Bible. I think it's quite remarkable that they can love every other book. And they can read every other book, but they don't want to read the Bible, because I'll tell you why. Because it tells the truth about them, and it tells the truth about God, and it tells the truth about Christ. They've tried to burn it, they've tried to eradicate it, they've tried to get rid of it, they put out the hotels, they put out of schools, they put out of homes. But I want to tell you, thank God we've still got it. It's the eternal word of God. And you remember the words of the Lord Jesus, he says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. I want to say to the dear saints of God tonight, if there's anything that we can depend upon, is the authority of the Holy Scriptures. Oh no, that people say to me, but you'll need to remember, friend, it was only written by men. That is true. But Peter tells us, holy men of God speak as when moved by the Holy Spirit of God. And when the Lord Jesus was down here, he spoke with authority. They were greatly surprised at the kind of things that he taught. I'll tell you why. Because his teaching cut across the logic of men's thinking. Especially these religious men. And go home tonight in your own home, and in the quiet of your own home, and just you turn your Bible to Matthew chapter 5, as the Lord Jesus is up the mountain there to establish the principles of his kingdom. And I want to tell you, friends, that these religious men, these Pharisees and the scribes and the Sadducees, they couldn't accept it. They thought it was illogical. They thought it was unreasonable. In fact, if you spoke to some of them, they would just say they thought it was mad. And what was it that he spoke? And what was it that he taught? And that's how we think to touch it tonight. Well, I noticed this. He says, blessed are the poor in spirit. Well, he's not talking about financial poverty. Nobody wants to be poor financially. You remember the words of the wise man in the book of the Proverbs. Give me neither poverty nor riches, lest I be poor and steal, or lest I be rich and take the name of the Lord my God. There's not a soul in this hall wants to be marked by poverty, but that's not what the Lord Jesus is speaking about. He's thinking about people who are humble. He's thinking about people who are holy-minded. He's thinking about people who have a low estimation of themselves. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And on he goes, blessed are those who mourn. Well, he's not thinking about those who are mourning over lost ones who have died and been buried. He's speaking about dear people who are mourning over their sin and mourning over their folly and mourning over their waywardness and concerned about their soul and concerned about their sin. You know, friends, I just wish that we could see more of that spirit in our community. I was talking with Brother Roy on Thursday there, and a man passed me, a young man, maybe about 35, and I could see he was out of breath. I said, you're pretty tired. Oh, he says, I do 3 miles a day jogging. He says, I want to be a fit father for my two children. And I said, now Roy, isn't that sad? Jog for 3 miles every day. More concerned about his body than his soul. And I says to my friend, I want to ask you a wee question before I leave you. Do you ever think about your soul? He said, not really. Questions about, you know, concerned about his body and concerned about his health and out jogging. And he said he swam and he did all these kind of things to keep his body well and in fit. And yet never gave his soul a thought. But let me tell you, friends, he's not alone. There's thousands like him. And there might be some dear soul in the hall tonight. You think about everything but Christ. You think about everything in this world, about getting on in this world and increasing a wee bit more in the bank book and getting a wee bit more popular and reaching the top of the social ladder, and yet never give your soul a thought. I wish that men would think about things that are important. The real matters, the eternal matters. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John chapter 6. Labour not for the meat that perisheth. You know, these things have all to pass and these things have all to go, but eternity carries on. And it's with Christ we're in the caverns of the lost for all eternity. And you know, these men knew full well that he spake with authority, and they were astonished at his doctrine. And another reason why they followed him, because he did speak with authority. He taught them as having authority, not as the scribes. He meant what he said. There was no hypocrisy. You couldn't undermine his teaching. You couldn't take two meanings out of it. It wasn't vague, and it wasn't visionary, and it wasn't obscure. When people heard the Lord Jesus speak and teach, they know full well what he meant. You know what amazes me? Sometimes I read a wee bit of the paper and they'll say they've found bones of an animal, or maybe the bones of a human, and they think they may be 9 million years old. You know, they're not sure. But that wasn't true about the Saviour. And he taught things that got home to their hearts. You know, I just want to tell you about one or two things that he taught with authority. I notice in chapter 6 and verse 24, he taught that there can only be allegiance to one master. I want you to think about this. No man can serve two masters, for he will hate the one and love the other. I want to say to every soul in this world, if I need to say it, that you can't be on both sides of the road. And you can't be on both sides of the door. And you can't be going to heaven and going to hell. You're either one or the other. You're either in Christ or you're out of Christ. You're either a believer tonight or you're an unbeliever. You're either converted tonight or you're unconverted. You're either condemned tonight or you're uncondemned. And the Lord Jesus makes it clear in John chapter 6 that there could be only allegiance to one master. My friends, let me say this to you. Either love him or you hate him. You can't be on both sides. You can't have Christ and the world. Could ask a wee question. Which side are you on? I remember about the story about, I've maybe told it here before, but I know really mattered, about a wee boy that got converted to Ian Paisley's children's meetings in Ireland. And he came home to his mummy. I says, mummy, he says, one door and only one. He says, and yet it sides are two. He says, I'm on the inside. On which side are you? And you know, just about a minute elapsed and he quoted it again. He says, mummy, he says, one door and only one. And yet it sides are two. He says, I'm on the inside. He says, which side are you? And you know, she couldn't control it. And she didn't really want it. And she says to the wee boy, get your hands and face washed and get way up to your bed. You see, that's what they do today. If they don't want the word, they get rid of the preacher. I've just been reading a book in my bed over these nights of Fox's Book of Martyrs. My dear friend, it's amazing the number of thousands and thousands of Christians that were slaughtered that bore testimony for the Lord Jesus. The world doesn't want it, and the world doesn't want him. And the remarkable thing is this, that he wants them. I think that's amazing. I think it's remarkable. I was just saying in the morning meeting this morning amongst the Lord's people that he loved us when we never loved him. And there's nothing about us that's lovable anyway. And I love the words of God that he speaks to the children of Israel from the book of Jeremiah. He says, I loved you because I love you. There's no remarkable thing, my friend, in the meeting to understand and come to appreciate that God loves you and Christ died for you. I think that's a way beyond our understanding. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he first loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. I think it's a great moment when a man or a woman or a boy or a girl comes to appreciate that when he died on the cross, he died because he loved us. I think that is remarkable and that is amazing. And you know, he taught too, in John's chapter, Matthew chapter 7, he thought there was a blessing for those who asked. See, somebody, and what should be a Christian? I know I should settle a great matter for my son, but how do I do it? How do I come into the good of it? How can I come to value it and appreciate it and know it experimentally in my soul and in my heart? Well, the Lord Jesus gives the answer, ask. This is the promise of the Saviour. This is the promise of the Son of God. And you know, my friend, the Bible tells me that the promises of God are yea, amen, in Christ. He says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh shall be opened unto him. Have you ever come to him? Have you ever asked him?
Lord, save me. You know, we were visiting a dear woman just on Tuesday. She's got problems, of course, with her health and mental problems as well, but seemingly she trusted Christ in a neighbour's home. And she said, no, I just asked him to save me from my sins. Well, friend, that's all God is asking you to do. He's not asking you to work. You couldn't work for it anyway. And he's not asking you to pay because you're not rich enough to pay for it. There's none in this hall could pay for it. You're only asked to believe. You're only asked to ask for it. Ask and it shall be given unto you. I thought about the lovely words of the dying thief in Luke chapter 23 when he was crucified by the side of the Lord Jesus. And all that he said and all that he could say was, Lord, he said, remember me. And the Lord heard them. And the Lord answered them. I was thinking about going back to Jesus in Luke chapter 19. You know, he couldn't see, but he certainly could hear. And Jesus was passing them by that day. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, he says, have mercy upon me. And you know, friend, that's what we need tonight. We need mercy. And the grace of God. And faith in Christ. And the Bible tells me that's chapter 30. The way to get is repentance towards God. Coming from your sin and hating your sin as God hates it. And faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so there was many that day that followed him when he was here because of what he taught and because of the authority in which he did teach. But I want to think finally, I've only got 2 or 3 minutes left, and that the third reason why he followed him. And the dear Christians in this hall have experienced that whatever it is, that he has something worthwhile to offer. You know, you get man's offer, you just go to Tesco, isn't it? 3 for 2. It's ongoing, isn't it? I keep telling my wife she's kind of hooked on that thing, but you know, 3 for 2 is quite nice, but it's just man's offer. And you know, you get them every day, but here's an offer. And that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And what is he offering? He's offering salvation. Something worthwhile, and I want to say that he has something to offer then, and he's still got something worthwhile to offer tonight. And let me say this to us all, that he's the answer to men's need, and he's the answer to your need. I want to tell you, friends, you've never thought about this, but that you've got a need tonight that a doctor can't meet. And you've got a need tonight that a psychiatrist can't meet. And you've got a need tonight that a psychologist can't meet. And you've got a need tonight that a scientist can't meet. But I tell you this, the Saviour can. Because what you need and what we need is forgiveness of sins and cleansing. To be cleansed from our sins by the precious blood of Christ. And that's why this dear leper man came. And I just want to speak about him for a few minutes. I was just thinking in Matthew chapter 8, this dear leper man, and leper of course is a dreadful disease. In that day there was no cure. And remarkable, in that day there was only one healed, and that was Naaman the Syrian. And there was many lepers in Israel, but only one was healed. And the future was foreboding. And the future was dark. And the end was sure if you had leprosy. But I want to remind every soul in this meeting tonight that it's only a picture of sin. It's only a picture of what man is without God. It's only a picture of man is without Christ. But this dear my leper man came because nobody could meet his need. I'm sure about this. I'm an awful well from experience and from listening to reports that these dear men couldn't live in their own home. And they couldn't live amongst society. And they couldn't live in the city. And these who go about the streets and possibly even yet and cut their hands over their mouth and cry, unclean, 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 and people go out the road of them. Helpless, hopeless, friendless cases. And here's the man in Matthew chapter 8, and here he is, just a leper, and nobody could do anything for him, and his condition was a burden to him, and his condition was a concern to him. But let me ask you, friends, were you ever concerned about your sin? How can you understand why people go through life and never think about what they are before God? Does your sin ever burden you? Does your sin ever concern you? Let me tell you, it's a tragic thing to die your sin. To die without Christ, have you counted the cost? To die without Christ in your soul to be lost. And you know, this was a burden to this dear man.
He knew full well that inwardly there was something seriously wrong. You see, when you look at people today, you say, well, they seem fair and they seem well and everything seems bright and rosy. I want to say to my dear friends that I've come to understand and appreciate by experience that under every smile is a problem. And although people look happy, and they might think that they're happy, but down deep, they're not really happy. I'll tell you why, because inherently there's something wrong with mankind. And there's something wrong with men in general, and that's a great question of their sin. And maybe, I thought he maybe was coming because he was afraid to die. And you know, my friend, he knew it was a present. I thought it was lovely that when he heard about Jesus, he didn't wait till the next day, or maybe the first or the second week. He needed help now. He needed a cure now. If you know, my friend, let me say to you tonight in the meeting, if you're in the hall tonight, you're unconverted, you're just like this man. You need help. You need cure from your sin now. There's a wee verse in Corinthians, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of God's salvation. Tomorrow might be too late. You know, the great cry in the world is tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. Tomorrow I need to believe. But my friend, let me tell you, tomorrow is not yours. Tomorrow is eternity hid from your view. Today is yours. And this dear man knew it, that the Saviour was only passing by and he needed help now. And I thought it was lovely. He knew it was a personal need. He didn't look around and say, well, and he could have looked around and said, well, I'm not as bad as others. Have you heard that? I'm not as bad as him. You know, if he goes to the church, well, I'm not as bad as him, and there's hope for him, there's hope for me. You know, this dear man didn't do that. He didn't look at others. He just looked at himself. And he looked to his problem, and he looked to his difficulty, and he looked to his disease, and he said, no, I'm needing something different. I'm needing cure from this. I'm needing help. And I thought that was lovely. And let me put in tonight, it wasn't easy for him to come. You know, as it was then, it's still true tonight, it's no quarter to come to the Saviour. You see, this is why people didn't come and hear the gospel. And this is why people don't attend gospel meetings and gospel halls, because they're afraid to be laughed at. And to know the sneer and the colour of the lip of the world, and you'll get that if you become a Christian. I was just telling a dear woman no long ago, it's no an easy thing to become a Christian, and it's no an easy thing to live a Christian. Maybe that's where your problems will all commence. When you think of the ridicule of the world and the sneer of the world and all that kind of thing. But he wasn't concerned about that. You know, there was nobody cured before. Only one man, that was Naaman the Syrian, and that was long before his time. And you know, he didn't get any encouragement to come. Because he never saw a leper healed before. I'd just like to say this and finish it. He did come. And I wish that would be two of you tonight. You know what you are. You've heard the gospel so many times. You know you need to be right with God. You know you need to be saved. You know what you should do. I'm sure about every soul in this hall that they know the way. But you need to take it. He did come. Please let me leave three wee points before I finish. He learned that his cure depended upon Jesus. What did he say? If thou wilt. I think it's a great day in a person's experience when they come to that. They come to appreciate that they're shut up entirely to Christ for salvation and for heaven. Is that not a big thing? Is that not a big thing to come to in your heart and in your mind, that you're entirely shut up to him? Know the gospel hall and know the church and no preachers and no ministers or priests but the Saviour. And this man, dear man, knew that if he was going to be healed and if he was going to be cured, he came to understand they're all dependent upon the Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you something more. He recognised that Christ had the power to heal. He says, thou canst, thou canst. Now, I challenge every soul in the hall tonight, can you tell me any other Saviour that has done for men what they've done? Can you tell me another man that can forgive sins? Can you tell the other man in the world that can make the claims that Christ made? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. Can any other man say that? Could the late George Mr. Bush say that? Could Tony Blair say that? Could Gordon Brown say that? Could David Cameron say that? My dear friend, Barack Obama, could he say that? I am the light of the world? I'll say this, my friends, Christ could say that. Because it was true of him. And this dear man knew that if he was going to be cured at all, that the power was in the Saviour. And I thought it was lovely too that he claimed no rank or position. He didn't go up to Jesus and say, do you know who I am? You know, I've done quite well in life and I deserve to be healed, not a bit of it. He failed him. And that's the best place to be, my friend, if you're going to become a Christian, at the feet of the Saviour. At the feet of Christ, it says, he fell down at his feet. Think his reward in coming. It says this, I thought it was lovely. He knew the transforming touch of Christ. He says, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him. You know, dear soul, it's been a long, long time since this man had ever been touched before. Nobody would believe him. Everybody would be afraid of him. They would run from him. It says, Jesus touched him. And I think about this man's society had given him up. And his friends had given him up. And his family had given him up. But let me say this in closing. What men can't do, Christ can. And he's given no one up. And there's nobody too hard. And there's nobody too difficult to save. And there's nobody too bad. And there's nobody too sinful. And my friend, there's no barriers in the gospel either. We're glad about that. There's no racial barriers. Doesn't matter the colour of our skin. And there's no social barriers. And there's no moral barriers. And there's no intellectual barriers. And there's no religious barriers. And there's no financial barriers in the gospel. The word of the gospel tonight from the lips of Christ is come. Come. Come unto me. All ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Think of the assurance he got. Didn't he come from man, but came from a man. The Lord Jesus says, I will be thou clean. You know, friends, if you trusted the Saviour tonight, I want to tell this, you would have got a different person. You would have got a joy you've never known before. You would have got a happiness that you've never experienced before. Just trusting the Lord Jesus. Just these words, I will be thou clean. Freed from the burden that bore him down. Burdened about his condition. Concerned about his leprosy. Worried about his disease. Hear the words of Christ, I will be thou clean. And his cure was immediate. I thought that was lovely. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. It was a long process. You know, being born again and being converted is instantaneous. One minute you're on the road to hell, and the next minute you're on the road to heaven. One minute you're an unbeliever, and trusting Christ, the next minute you're a believer. One minute you're unblessed, and the next minute you are blessed. You know, it's no a long process. The Bible didn't talk about limbo, or purgatory, or any of these kind of places, where your soul is kind of cleansed for the reasons beyond. My dear friend, salvation in Christ is instantaneous. I will be thou clean. And you know, the lovely thing about it, he never tried. All he did was trust. We sometimes say that to him, only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. May God give you grace to come to him. And may God give you grace to trust him. And know the joy of sins forgiven and heaven as your future home. So we pray. Dear God and Father, we thank you again for the Saviour. We never tire of singing about him. I never tired of preaching about him. We remember we'll sing eternally and Lord his praises for eternity. And we thank you too for the new song that he's placed in our mouth and in our hearts even praise unto our God. We thank you for saving us from hell and saving us from judgment and saving us from the coming wrath and saved to heaven and saved to blessing and saved to joy and happiness. And we just pray for all and any dear soul in our hall that yet doesn't belong to him. We pray that by faith he might come to him. And believe the message of the gospel. And believe all that they say about them. And believe all that they say about thy son. And know the joy of sins forgiven. And the Lord Jesus as our own personal Saviour. Give me these matters to thee. As we seek a parting blessing. Giving thanks for all things. And for the occasion of serving Christ. In his precious name. Amen. Could we sing that hymn? That would be fine. Only trust him. And they've got the number. Thank you, sir. 196. We'll just sing the first and the second verses remaining seated, after which the meeting is over. But if anybody would like to speak further about these matters with your service for Christ's sake. 196, From Every Soul, by Sin of Christ.